Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2. Paul says in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now this verse, it reads like a paradox. And what that means is it sounds like there's some contradictory things in there. Two things that can't both be true at the same time, and yet they are. They are true. And this describes our living unto God. Through the death of Christ, I now live unto God. And so let's hear this in the context. This is following on from verse 19, which we saw last week. Verse 19 and 20. I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now remember that I, through the law, when he spoke of that law, he was describing the law of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, the law of liberty, the law of faith, the law of the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by him. And that's how he says, I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so this verse is describing for us the love of Christ for his people. That love moved him to action. It moved him to come as our surety, as our substitute, to die under the penalty of the law in our place. We who are his people, he took our place. He purchased us by his death, redeeming us, delivering us from that penalty because he paid the penalty. He died under the law in our place to silence the law against us whose hope is in him. And by his death, he brought us into union with himself, wherein we stand accepted of holy God. And now, being joined unto him, unto Christ our husband, he brings us to experience this grace, to know this love, this grace, this mercy that he has for us in his life. I've titled this message, Alive by Him Who Loves Me. Alive by Him Who Loves Me. And so, remember now, we see it, well, we're going to look at our representation in Christ. Now, Paul in verse 19, he speaks of that law of the gospel, that doctrine of Christ, whereby he satisfied the penalty of the law, that through his death, him dying in our place, we should live unto God in freedom, in liberty from that fear and worry that we had under the law when we tried to work a righteousness for ourselves. But couldn't because of the weakness of this flesh. And so now, verse 20 describes that law of liberty, that law of Christ. It defines our union with Christ. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, we know that Paul wasn't literally crucified with Christ. The two thieves, on their own crosses, on either side of him, they were crucified with Christ in that literal sense. But he's speaking spiritually. Paul is talking about him being a mystical member of Christ's body, and that spiritually he is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That what Christ was doing was for him as a member of his body. Christ came and submitted himself to death, even the death of the cross, to put away the sin of his people, to deliver us from the penalty of the law. He paid the debt that we owed to the law because we weren't righteous. We weren't perfect under the law. We didn't give the law perfect obedience as is commanded by the Lord. And so our Lord's death, it accomplished the putting away of the sin of every child of God, chosen of God. It put away the reign and the dominion of sin over us. When we labored being afraid, we were afraid to die. We were worried and terrified because we saw, I'm not meeting that perfect requirement of the law. And so our Savior came and satisfied that law against us by submitting to the death of the law in our room instead. Remember that Adam is a picture of Christ. That's what Romans 5, verse 14 tells us. We're told that Adam is the figure of him that was to come. Christ isn't a figure of Adam. Adam's a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the scriptures are telling us about Adam, what they're defining there, is that all of Adam's race, all his seed, were in Adam. We were in Adam's loins. When Adam rebelled against God, we were yet in Adam. Adam and Eve had no children yet. So all of Adam's seed were yet in his loins, so that when he rebelled against God, sin entered the world. And he died by that sin. He became corrupted and defiled. Enmity was found in his heart against the true and living God. So it is with all his seed, was corrupted and defiled just like Adam. And so when we come forth of his natural generation, when we come forth being born of his seed, we come forth corrupted and defiled, in darkness, dead to the things of God, spiritually dead, spiritually blind, unable to please God, unable to live a perfect obedience under the law of God, because we're born of Adam's seed. Adam gave birth to his children, and they gave birth to their children, and so on and so forth, to our father, our dads and moms, so that when our dad, when we're conceived in our mother's womb by our father's seed, we come forth being born of that corrupt seed in natural generation. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we see this truth. We just live our lives and we see the weakness of this flesh. We see the corruption of our heart, our minds, our thoughts, our ways. We ourselves are sinners against the true and living God. So also Christ is that second Adam, and he represents all who are in him, all his seed, so that we now live by him. We are born of him. We come forth not of Adam's generation, but of Christ's regeneration. That's why it's called a regeneration. We've been born again by the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said to Nicodemus in John 3:7, ye must be born again. And so our Savior sends the Spirit, who takes of the things of Christ, his seed, and gives us life in the new man, whereby we are born of Christ. We're born again. Peter affirms this in 1 Peter 1:23, saying that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, not generated of Adam's corrupt seed, but of incorruptible seed, Christ's incorruptible, holy, perfect, undefiled seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Therefore, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, whosoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new for you, born of Christ's seed. You're a new creature. You're spiritually alive. You know the true and living God because he knows you and chose you and gave you life in his Son. When the Christ of God was crucified, he wasn't crucified as a private individual citizen. He was crucified as the head of his people. He wasn't crucified for any sins or crimes that he had committed. He was crucified for his people in their room instead. He is the public head and representative of his body, the church. That's why Christ was crucified, as our head, representing his people. So Christ died in Paul's place, and Christ's death became the life spring of Paul's life. Out of Christ's death, Paul lived. When Christ died, Paul, that old man of sin, died with him, meaning the sin debt that we owe was canceled. The debts are settled, paid in full. You go up there to try and pay, it's already settled. There's nothing you owe. Nothing you owe in Christ. It's all been satisfied by him. So that Paul became dead to the law for sin, dead to its righteous demands that it held against Paul. His debts are all paid. Everything's been answered for. Paul doesn't owe anything else to the law. He's dead to the law. It's satisfied. It's silenced. It's shut up to him. There's nothing more that he owes to it. And just as that's true with Paul, so it is for every member of Christ's body. You that have no other hope, you that have turned from the law of Moses for righteousness, and now look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christ sent of God, you that look to him alone, believing him, trusting him for all your justification, following him for your rule of life, looking only to the Son of God for righteousness, it's true of you just as it was of Paul. Isaiah 53:5 words it this way. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we, the body of Christ, the members of Christ, are healed. We're healed by him, dying in our place. All our sins were laid upon him. He bore them for his people. And he bore the punishment of those sins. He made payment for those sins, submitting himself under the law and dying under the penalty of the law for his people. So that he crushed, he broke that power that was upon us. He broke that power, that rule, and that reign of sin over us. And every time that viper, that old serpent, rears its head back with its poison-dripped fangs ready to strike us, he crushes the head. He destroys him. There's nothing more that we owe to the law, and the accuser of the brethren has nothing to say against us. So this union of the body to Christ, it's witnessed by the Spirit in the writings of the apostles, being moved by the Holy Ghost. Not only did we die with Christ, but we find that we were buried with Christ in baptism. Romans 6:3, in the beginning of verse 4, says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Well, if we were buried with Christ, then it follows that we are risen with him as well. Continuing in Romans 6:4, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Again, in Colossians 2, verse 12, we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, so that now we are raised and seated with Christ our forerunner, who was gone before us into the veil to make reconciliation for the people, to intercede for the people. Ephesians 2:6, and he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so all these manifold blessings, all this grace of God is shown to us, being contained in this fact: I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified with Christ, so that by Christ we have that light spring of life rising up in us. It's the Spirit's beam. It gives us light and life and liberty in our Lord. All these spiritual blessings are given to us of our God in his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent to deliver the people, to purchase the people, to make his people his own, part of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bones. And therefore, Paul understood that my death in Christ, I died in Christ, I'm crucified with Christ, that I might live. I live in him. I live by Christ himself. Remember what it says there in Galatians 2:19 in the beginning of 20. I, through the law, I, through Christ, am dead to the law that I might live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I live. Now, because of my union with Christ, I live. Because of your union with Christ, you live. You live. You are alive spiritually unto God. Now, this speaks of our spiritual life by Jesus Christ through the Spirit's regeneration of his people, whereby we live unto God. Meaning, we're producing fruit. We're living branches connected to the tree. And as the tree is alive and sends forth that living sap into its branches and the fruit forms, so it is of us. We are connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ, whereby we bear fruit unto our God. The fruit produced by living souls that live unto God, that live by God. Before life in the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed in us, we produced fruits, and they were fruits unto death. We thought that we were very successful, very productive in our religion. We thought we were good people doing what was expected of us, and that God was pleased with our works and what we did. And yet, just like the Pharisees, who were also religious, we produced fruit unto death. You look at the Pharisees, they're religious. They read the Bible. They did works and produced things. And the Lord says it was fruit unto death. It was rotten, stinky fruit. It didn't please God. But now in Christ, we live and we produce fruit unto God. We bring forth faith, hope, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to him for all my righteousness. He's my peace, my comfort, my assurance with God. When I look at this flesh, I see only rotten fruits. I see me working and laboring for myself. But in Christ is all my hope, all my joy, all my peace, and my comfort with him, so that by Christ and by the life of Christ in me, we do show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, whereby we're no longer trusting in the works of darkness. We're no longer trusting what we do for God. We're trusting what God has done for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's righteous fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit in us. We're bringing forth praises unto our God. We're testifying and glorying in His salvation, in His light, in all that He's given to us in Christ His Son, as it's pleased Him. Turn over to Romans 7. Romans 7. Let's look at verse 4. And we'll read a couple verses there. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. We're mystical members of the body of Christ, born of His Spirit, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We're alive unto our God. We live by Christ. We live in Christ. We live of Christ, taught and born of Him. So that our life is not simply one now of being more motivated by Christ than we are to do our own works in the flesh by man's will and man's works. No, we're born again. We are regenerated of the incorruptible seed of Jesus Christ. I'm crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When he says, yet not I, he's saying, I'm a different man altogether. I'm talking about the Spirit's work. We're talking about what Christ has done, what he's wrought in me. Not what I was before in Adam. Christ has claimed me as his own. He's implanted his seed in me. He's given me spiritual life. He's made me to know what he's done for me. And he's given me a joy and a rejoicing in his salvation, whereby I rest and have peace in him. I live in Christ. I live by Christ. We love him because he first loved us. We're born of him. Paul adds, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So that the source of our life is Christ. It's Christ. We live of him, by him. Romans 8, 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He put it away. He destroyed it. He answered all the demands of the law. He paid the debt of sin that we owed so that it's canceled. It's canceled. It has no more effect over our inheritance with God. Christ is our inheritance. He's all. It's all settled and satisfied in and by Christ. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm not trying to work a justification and a righteousness for myself by the law. I'm looking to Christ, trusting him, believing him, that he's satisfied all the law which was against me, and he's put it away, and I now live by him. And so this life of Christ in us, it results in our believing Christ alone for all our righteousness. Because of the life of Christ, we now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We now trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We confess the Lord Jesus Christ. We cry out to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. He's the fountainhead. He's the source of our life, the source of our sanctification, the source of our joy, the source of our rejoicing, the source of all our works in service to our God and in serving one another. It's all born in us of the seed of Christ. And so Christ has made everything to the believer. He's made everything to us. And that's because we have spiritual life by him. Even our faith, even the faith by which we hope in Christ, is born in us. It's revealed in us. It's given to us by God, whereby we behold and look to and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ that produces this life. It's Christ that produces this faith. This flesh doesn't produce this faith. This flesh doesn't bring forth any good works. Christ alone brings forth that which is good and acceptable to God. It's Christ's work of grace in us to make known to us his salvation that he's wrought for us. Look at Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ. By the faith of Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, or the works of the flesh, for that matter. Right? That's when we say the works of the law, we're talking about what this flesh does. For by the works of the law, by the works of this flesh, shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. And so, if that's not clear, Ephesians 2, 5 and Ephesians 2, 8 says, even we were dead in sins, God, even when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So that by the life of Christ, we now have faith and believe him who loved us and saved us, who did this work of grace in us. That's why Christ is called in the scriptures the author and finisher of our faith, because our faith comes from him, it springs from him as our author, and we are kept and preserved by the Lord Jesus Christ unto the end, so that it's finished in him. Right? When we stand before Christ in that day, there will be no need for faith. There will be no more need for hope, because we shall see him as he is. So there won't be faith, because we'll see him and know him as he is. Love will continue, because love never fails. It never goes away. We'll love him even as we love him now, and we shall behold him who loved us perfectly. And we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so it's the faith of Jesus Christ which works upon us to bring forth our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the faith of Christ that acts upon us to bring forth faith in Jesus Christ. We're like newborn babes. When a babe is born, all that babe does is receive inputs for its care, for its warmth, for its nourishment, for its sustaining, for its life. Everything's provided for that newborn babe to give it life and to keep it living. And so it is with us, brethren. We are newborn babes in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's feeding us and providing all things for us, so that we're growing by his grace and his love. Now, Paul gives us the reason for such care for the believer. Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. All this life is from Christ and by Christ, with all its graces and spiritual blessings and spiritual benefits. It's from his creating us, to him coming in the flesh, to him fulfilling all the law perfectly, coming under the law and fulfilling it perfectly, even to his submitting to death, the death of the cross, to make satisfaction for the sins of the people. And so, as a result of what he has done, we live by him, and we'll live with him for all eternity, rejoicing and sharing in his inheritance, in his life for all eternity. Our faith doesn't give us life with Christ, nor does it secure our comforts in him. Our faith is the result of Christ's love for us. It's the result of his life in us. All our comforts are received of him, just as that newborn babe receives everything from its loving mother. It receives love from its mother. It receives warmth and care, a bed, comfort. It rests in its mother's arms. That babe has peace by its mother. Well, so it is with us, that we receive peace and rest and warmth and comfort and love being cared for by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27 begins, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." You may feel like you're holding on to God for dear life with all your strength and all your might, lest you lose your grip and slip away and fall into outer darkness. But the reality is, you're held up, you're undergirded with the everlasting arms, and you shall never fall away, for you are Christ's, and you're in his hand, and we are in the hand of God, so that nothing can pluck us away or take us away. Now, I want to emphasize one last thing with you. This love is personal, and this love is distinguishing. Everything Paul said in verse 20 was very specific to Paul. It was very personal to him. Let's read it. Verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." When you read this, it sounds like Paul saying, that which Christ did was for me. Just for me. He came into this world because he loved me, and he died for me. And that's how every child of God knows their Savior. He did this for me. If I was the only one, his only child, he came into this world because he loved me. And he died for me. It's not just a general sense in which we believe that Christ is the Savior of the world. That's true. But he's my Savior. He died for me. And that's how you see him. He died for me. He loved me. He made me to know this. He revealed faith in my heart, looking to him. He delivered me from the bondage of the law and delivered me from trusting in the works of my flesh for righteousness. He made me to see that Christ is everything. He's all. He did that for me. And that's how our Lord comes to his child, revealing this grace, revealing his life in each and every one of you who now hope in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what our God does for us by his Son. Rejoice in him. Be glad in him. Amen.